morning. As a member of WMU, I am here to encourage you to give to the Lottie Moon offering, Christmas offering. And 100% of that offering goes to IMB, International Mission Board. But a lot of you may not know who Lottie Moon was, who she was, and what she did, and why the offering is named in her honor. Lottie Moon was a young lady who was born and raised in Virginia, close to Charlottesville. And she graduated from Hollins, and during her time period, she had was the most one of the most educated women of that time, and we're talking in the mid-1800s. She felt such a love for God, and she felt God was calling her on the mission field. But the IMB, which at that time was called the Foreign Mission Board, did not allow women who were single to go on the mission field for their safety. But she persisted, along with several other single ladies, and eventually the Foreign Mission Board said, okay, we're going to let a few of you go. But she was not in the first group. She was in the second group. And she could speak five languages, but where she was sent was to China, where she had to learn a new language, Manchurian Chinese. She worked with women, and she worked with children. She started schools, and she became known as the Cookie Lady because she would make cookies, and the smell would go around the village, and people would come. But while she was in China, and she served from 1873 to 1912, she, which is 39 years, she wrote letters insisting that the Foreign Mission Board send more help, people, money, food, clothes, because China, where she was at, was going through disaster after disaster after disaster. And she begged for people to give more. So the ladies of the churches went together and said, we're going to take up a Christian collection, a Christmas collection. Because people often give more at Christmas time. And so they did. They took up a collection. They continued to do that every year. After she passed away, the WMU decided to name the offering in her honor. Now, Lottie Moon was not even 5 foot tall, but she was mighty in spirit, and she was mighty in her work for the Lord. Now, last month, I do missions with Children's Church once a month. Your child was given a little cup, and it had a heart on it, and it said Abby's Challenge. Now, Abby is a missionary kid. Her parents are missionaries in Southeast Asia. And she asked her parents, I want to earn some money for when we go on vacation so I can get some souvenirs, blah, 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 blah. Okay. She's 11 years old, okay? And so she started saving her money, and then COVID-19 occurred. And just like in our country where everything is shut down, where they were at, everything is shut down, and they couldn't go on vacation. So she talked to her parents, and she said, can I give my money that I save to the International Mission Board? And it was $32.20. And her parents said, sure. And we're going to match it. Her mom matched 32. Her dad matched 32. They put it on Facebook. The goal was to get 5,000. Within 3 months, they had over 13,000 through Facebook of money given to the foreign missions. So I challenged your child to save their coins, to ask you to do chores, and to give it to the Lottie Moon, Abby's Challenge, and all you have to do. So we've already collected some money. Just give it to Miss D, and at the end of the month, we will say how much the Children's Church has given to Lottie Moon.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his word. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppressions shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
God is good, isn't he? Man, I tell you, the one thing my wife and I have really tuned into as we have begun to worship here at First Baptist Church is the talent and the gifted people that are in this church, and particularly when it comes to music. We've just enjoyed every minute of being here and worshiping and singing and praising God and listen to those that God's blessed with talents that some people have and some don't. And, you know, somebody asked me one time, man or mouse, and I've been squeaking up ever since, and that's all right. I just tell them, I like to sing. If you don't like the way I sing, that's all right. The Bible said make a joyful noise, and I hope that's what you'll do, because God is good, and he likes to hear us give praise unto him. Well, join me in a moment of prayer as we turn our hearts into the Word. God, already we've been blessed. Father, to see our children lead us in worship. What an awesome experience. Seeing them learn the truths of God. Seeing them grow in grace and in truth. Thank you. Thank you for those that work with them and take the time and impart their knowledge and their understanding and most of all their love. And for the talent musically, for the leadership of people in ministry here, whether it's as a deacon or in WMU. And God, this church is blessed and we pray you'll continue to bless. But thank you for what you're doing in this place. Now bless us, Father, as we look at your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you remember and reflect on your life, what would you say is the greatest gift you ever received? For me, it occurred in 2008. When we had our Christmas as a family and we were reaching the place where getting together on Christmas Eve was becoming more difficult because our two girls lived away from us. They were starting to have their own children and they were getting up old enough where they needed to have Christmas in their own home. But on this particular Christmas Eve, all of our children were there and the three grandchildren that we had at that time were there. And after our dinner on Christmas Eve, we gathered in the living room and we read the Christmas story, we prayed together, and then we opened family gifts. And when it was all over, I started to clean up because grandkids and even kids in their 20s and early 30s have a way of thinking, you just wad stuff up, this is mom and dad's house, throw it over here. They'll get it sooner or later, you know. And so I started picking up wrapping paper when my youngest daughter said, Dad, there's still one more gift. And I looked. I got down on all fours and looked way back under the tree. I didn't see anything. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, it's on a Christmas tree. And so I walked around that Christmas tree and back and forth I went around. And she said, Dad, you have to look on around behind it in the corner. And so I kind of got over against the wall and scooted around and I saw a big red elastic band. And I reached back there and pulled it out. And when I did, on it was a key fob and a key. And I went into a state of shock. And I turned around and said, now you're pulling my leg. And they said no. Long story short, they took me down into the garage where this big red bow was on top of this Kia Sorento. And my wife said, I wanted to do something special for you before I retire. And she bought me a car. We still drive that car. It still runs good. I enjoy that car. But as I look back, even now, I want you to know, as special and as great as that gift was, it was not the greatest gift I've ever received. The greatest gift I ever received occurred on July 10th in 1974. I was working in mental health, and one day at the close of the day, everybody had gone, and a pastor friend of mine had come by. And he wanted to talk to me. And so I brought him in. We were sitting in the waiting room of that mental health office because at that point I had walked out on my wife and my two kids that we had at that time and wanted to commit suicide. And he talked to me for 25 or 30 minutes and then he asked to have prayer with me and then he left and got out to his car. And just as he was getting into his car, I said, Jim, come back here a minute. And he came back in and I said, you can't be saved by osmosis, can you? And he looked at me, kind of funny. Because you know, someday I'll tell you the whole story, but I had pastored a church prior to that. I'd been on staff prior to that. I was raised in a Christian home. I'd been dunked under the water. And he said, "What do you mean you can't be saved by osmosis?" I said, "Jim, I can't remember a day when I ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life." And I said, "I need Jesus." And there in that waiting room, we got on our knees and I asked God to forgive me. I confessed my sins and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, that's the greatest gift I've ever received. And I will never receive a greater gift than Jesus. And I want you to understand why Jesus is the greatest gift. You see, Jesus gives us the answer. In your Bibles, in John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus is speaking here and he says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why is this gift so great? It's great because, first of all, of the gift giver. Jesus said, "For God." Now, I've thought a lot about that. He just says, "For God." And I got to reflecting on what the Scripture teaches, and what you discover is this. The Bible tells us a lot about God. It tells us about His character. It helps us to understand His attributes. It even gives us insight to a lot of things that God did from the beginning of the Bible until the end. And now we see with our own eyes things that are God, that God's doing in our world today and in our lives. But when you stop and try to think, well, who was God's parents? Where did God come from? All you find in the Bible is this opening statement in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where the Bible begins, "In the beginning, God." It doesn't tell us anything about his past. And you come to Revelation, and Revelation tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, the Bible wants us to understand God has always been, God is, and God will always be. He is eternal. And by faith, we accept that declaration. And so what I discover is that this God who created the world and everything that's in it, who capped off his creation by creating man in his own likeness, this God who sustains the world and the universe and who sustains your life and my life, this God who is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-powerful and all-present, God did something for me. He gave me something. I don't know about you, but that's really special. I've got 9 grandkids. 7 of them are still on earth. 2 of them have gone on to be with the Lord. But I tell you, when they come and see Papaw, they'll make me something, particularly the little ones. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some of them, it looks like scribble. But Papaw, I made you a picture. And you hear my heart. I treasure that. They took time to do something for their Papaw. And God took time to do something for you and me. God is the gift giver. But then Jesus tells us the reason he gave the gift. For Jesus said, for God so loved the world. And I had to stop and look at that word love. It's the word for the highest form of love. There is a sexual kind of love. There is a brotherly love. But then there is this agape love, this love that is unconditional, that loves you not for who you are or what you are or what you've done or what you have, but who loves you unconditionally, warts and all, simply because you were created in His likeness. He put you on this earth and He loves you. And that's amazing. John wrote, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. The Apostle Paul would go on to say, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God looked down on the world He created and all that was there, and He saw on that earth man. And what He saw in man was those who were created in His likeness turned and rebelled against Him. And sin entered the world. And God had to expel Adam and Eve from the garden, lest they would taste of the tree of life and live forever. He expelled them. And now God looks down on the world, and what does He see? All through generation after generation after generation, He sees so much vice and corruption. He sees men and women, boys and girls, whose hearts would rather have darkness than light and who refuse to respond to Him and to love Him and obey Him and live for Him. And in spite of all of that, in spite of everything we've done to literally tell God we don't like Him, Jesus says, God still loves you and me. Isn't that amazing? All the violence that's going on, I listen to people as they talk, and even Christians express their disdain for those that are in prison or those that have committed crimes. And then I read the paper last night, and one of the editorials in it was by a lady that said, we are at a time where even in this season, we need to have compassion on those in our prison. She wasn't advocating that they be turned free. She wasn't advocating that they not pay the penalty for their sin. But she was reminding us of what the whole world is like. They're in prison because they committed sin against humanity. And we're in prison because we've committed sin against Almighty God. And we're in a spiritual prison. And we need, particularly those of us who have been born again and released from that prison, we need to have pity and we need to be concerned and show compassion for those who are still in prison. And so the Bible says, Jesus declares that God, the Creator of all, loves. And it's because of that love. Hear me, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past is like. Understand this. God loves you. And when I bowed on my knees in that waiting room and asked Jesus into my heart, I experienced the greatest flood of love I've ever known. Because God, listen, I had walked out on my wife and kids. And God still loved me. And God loves you. And if you don't hear much else of what I say, leave here knowing, even though you may not turn to Christ right now, listen to me, God loves you and He's waiting for you to accept His love. And so He gave because He loved us. Now look at the gift. He gave His only begotten Son. In the Old Testament, you find time and time again, even from Genesis on, that God told us that there would come a time when He would intervene in history and send a Messiah. The prophet said that there was coming a time when God would send a sign. And behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And then the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God did act. When the timing was just at the moment He wanted it, God took action. And He gave His son. I told you last week, the angel declared to the shepherds out in the fields, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God came to earth in His Son, gave Him as a gift to you and to me, because He loves us and cares for us. And He came, and His purpose was to dwell among us and set us an example that we might follow in His steps. But as Jesus said in John 3:16, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, the gift comes in the form of Jesus, who gives to us who will receive Him the gift of eternal life. Paul wrote in Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus came that He ultimately might die. He came that He could pay the penalty of sin for your life and your life and my life. That by believing in Him and accepting His atoning work at Calvary, we could be granted life now and forever. You need to hear me at this point, and that is this, that every one of us in this place, we're going to live eternally. Oh, I had a professor one time in graduate school that said hell is nothing more than total annihilation. Hear me, my friend, you buy into that and you're going to hurt real bad. The difference is those who die in Christ, those who die having received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are given the gift of eternal life, and we shall live with the Son, Jesus, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever in heaven. But those who die without Christ, they will live forever. The Bible tells us they will live in hell. Read Luke's gospel. Hell's a place of utter torment and agony and misery. The choice becomes ours. You see, this gift is great because of the gift giver who cares enough about you and me, who loves us enough that He would come and take action and provide for us a way to have a right relationship with Him and to be able to live with Him and to know Him for all eternity. And He did it in the giving of His Son. when Susan and I first married. We were told after a couple of years that the probability of us having children was nil to none. So we adopted. 9 months after we applied, God gave us a little boy. As happens to a lot of dads, he's taller than I am. He's bigger than I am. You know, I'm getting tired. I got a grandson that's getting taller than I am. I'm tired of looking up to people. You know, I mean, I remember my oldest grandson. He used to look up to me, man. I mean, there was a time when he'd come visit me. Nobody could touch him but Papaw. And now that's not true anymore. You miss those good old days. But God gave us that son. And I want you to hear me. From the moment we picked him up and held him in our arms, it was as though we had given birth to him ourselves. For he is as loved as our two daughters that came later. I would lay down my life for my son. I can't imagine. I can't imagine willingly offering my son to die for somebody. But that's what God did for you and for me. So that gift is absolutely the greatest gift. Because of the gift giver, because of the reason he gave, because the gift that he gave, but it's also great because the gift's respondents. You see, in that verse it says that whosoever believeth in him. That means that God offers that gift to everyone in this room. He's not selective in the sense that he just says, no, you can't have it. You see, I don't know who in this room is saved and not saved. God does. All I know is God says that the gift that he has is for whosoever, and you're the whosoever's. And so if you're here today and you've never received Christ, the Holy Spirit is standing at your heart's door and knocking and pleading and saying to you, you need to open your heart and accept me. Receive me as Lord and Savior, that you might have this great gift of eternal life. You see, that's what I like about preaching. It's what I like about telling people about Jesus. It's because I don't know who the Spirit's going to touch at that moment or not. That's a God thing. I just deliver the Word. I just deliver the good news. I just share with you about the gift. Now it's up to you to decide what you want to do with that gift. This morning, will you receive the gift if you're here and have never received the gift? Would you invite Jesus into your heart? If you would, in a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and I'm going to ask you to do this. If you'll invite Jesus into your heart, I want you to come down the aisle, and I want you to come, I'll be here at the front, and I want you to share with me what you've done, that I might pray with you and that I might rejoice with you, and hear me, I might even shout about it. Because that's the most exciting gift you'll ever get. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian and things between you and the Father have just kind of got laxed. And you're not who you ought to be in Christ. This will be a good time for you to move on through the holiday season by getting right with God and asking God to forgive you and draw you close to Him, that you might truly remember and reflect on the reason for the season, the giving of the greatest gift of all. You might be here and need a church home. I'm going to invite you to join First Baptist Church. As God speaks, would you respond to Him? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this gift. Even today, it is hard for me to comprehend how You, Almighty God, could love like You love. It's hard for me to comprehend, God, how You could love me when I was such a horrible sinner. But I praise You that in Your grace and out of the depth of the heart, You love me enough that You allowed the Spirit to touch my heart and draw me to Jesus. Thank You for my gift. Now I pray that people here today that don't have that gift will receive that gift. So God, have Your way in this moment of decision. May we respond in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand together, we sing prayerfully, You come. I'll be here at the front to rejoice with You. Randy came this morning. Just join me in praying for him. I'll be getting with him later to just talk about his walk with the Lord. And I'm just thrilled that the Spirit of God reminded him of some things and encouraged him to just draw closer to Him. It's what we all need to do day after day after day. Just keep drawing close to the Lord. Let me take a moment again before we close to remind you of a couple of things. There is a business meeting tonight, and I want to encourage, this is a time for every church member to come and be involved and learn what's going on and participate in the planning and activities of the church. It'll be at 7 o'clock, so come back tonight and be a part of the business meeting, all right? And then next Sunday, boy, that's going to be a power-packed day. The children are going to lead us off in worship, and then hopefully we'll have this special guest, and then that night we'll have a cantata. I'm pumped. And I'm pumped because we also have ministry going on that weekend on Friday and on Monday. And Susan and I will be here. We'll get here Saturday. And so we're going to stay over. I want to help with the backpack ministry and be involved in that. And so I hope you'll look and pray about whether Friday or Monday and be involved in that. And then on Saturday morning, I would be here for that, but I don't think my wife would want to leave about 3 o'clock in the morning for me to get down here and get involved in that. So I don't know if I'll make it or not. But anyhow, let me encourage you. That's going to be a great weekend, not only for us to be blessed, but for God to use us to bless other people. So let me encourage you, all right? And pray for the leaders in these ministries, and pray for the choir and the musicians who will be doing the cantata both on Saturday and then again on Sunday, okay? Anybody else got a word before we go? Okay. Yes, I forgot. That's going to be Monday and Tuesday, right? All right, so let's remember those doing the shoebox. And then I think on Tuesday there's the men going to do something. Huh? Right. Okay. Be picking up some stuff on Tuesday. All right. So, boy, I'm glad to see a church that's willing to work and get out and minister in the community. Bless you all. All right. Well, let's close out in a word of prayer, asking God to just take us through this time. And again, I want to close by emphasizing something else. I really appreciate this word on Lottie Moon. Thank you so much. And hear me. I'm bad about this. I never apologize for asking God's people to give to missions. And I don't know you all very well, but I don't think $9,000 is enough. I think we can go well above that, okay? So what I'm saying is pray and give. And I've encouraged people in my church to, in the past churches where I've served, to do this, because my family and I have done it. We sacrifice sometimes gifts in order to give more liberally to Lottie Moon, because this touches lives around the world and puts missionaries in countries that we can't even tell you where they are. So pray and give. Let's close out in a word of prayer. And I will be, if you want to see me, I'll be at this door down here today. Okay? Father God, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for all who have been here. We pray that the Spirit has been able to minister to us right where we are, and that we leave excited because you have touched us afresh and anew. And Father, just walk with us through the remainder of this day. And may we live and glorify you in every way. In Jesus' name. Amen.